Okay, well, hopefully you're feeling encouraged this morning. And if you are, then nod at me. Fantastic. And I'll have a word with the rest of you later. That's not a problem. So this morning, we're really excited to be able to communicate stuff with you as church. Those of you who've been around the last few weeks, you know that we've been promoting, looking ahead, thinking about this thing called that we've called Vision Sunday. So before we go any further, maybe it's worth just explaining what we mean by Vision Sunday. Why Vision Sunday? Well, why Vision Sunday? It's nothing to do with getting your eyes tested. If you know the adverts about should have gone to Specsavers, we are not this morning asking people if you can read the row third from the bottom. Although if you can, very good. We're not asking if the colours look clearer on green or on red, on green or on red. But we are asking this morning, the question we are asking this morning is, what can we see? And that's why we talk about Vision Sunday. And when we ask ourselves the question, what can we see? Then we're talking about what can we see both now, but also what can we see in the future. And then we're going to think part of what we want to talk about this morning is how we're going to get there. So if you want to see the connection between vision and mission and strategy, then hopefully if those are words that mean something to you, then great. If they're not, then please don't worry. Just hang in there and I'm sure you'll understand what we are talking about. So really there are four things that we want to just touch on this morning. And they're these things. So the first one is this. This is what we're going to do. We are going to communicate. So Sally, if you could just put the next one up. The first one isn't communicate, it's focus. The first one is this morning that we want to focus. So the reason for having a Vision Sunday is we want to think and speak very clearly. We want to look together. There's lots of things that we could talk about. There's lots of things that we could look into. But this morning we want to try and focus in a little bit on some of the things that are important. The other thing, number two, we're going to communicate. So part of what we want to do this morning is very definitely and clearly about communication. So hopefully there'll be information, but also, and this is really important, that what we're not trying to do this morning is just flood your minds with lots of information and data and that kind of stuff. There will be some of that in there, but we also want to communicate heart as well. So as we speak this morning, a number of people are going to be contributing, a number of people are going to be stood with the microphone. Really, we want you to catch a sense as church, not just of information, but of heart stuff. Number three, we want to look through the eyes of faith. So everything that we're talking about this morning, what I really want to encourage all of us to do is to not just think with our, see things with our, and hear information and hear heart, but also look through the eyes of faith. We recognize that as church, we are very different to other organizations. Do you know why? Because the person who's responsible ultimately is God himself. He's the CEO, he's the chairman, and so ultimately, as an organization, we operate in a very different way. So this morning, as we think about these things, and as we focus and as we communicate, it's really important that what we hear and what we see, we look through the eyes of faith. We don't always necessarily catch hold of things straight away, but it's really important that as we hear and as we look and as we see, that actually we're saying, God, what do you want me to see? What do you want us to see? What do you want us to look at together as church? So through the eyes of faith. And lastly, those of you who've been part of our meetings this year, you'll know that there is this word that we felt that God was speaking to us right at the start of the year about being all aboard. Hopefully you can see we now have an all aboard train over here. It says all aboard on it. It helps us with this picture, this image. You know how we all operate in different ways. We all see things in different ways. One of the members of our congregation, when he heard this word about all aboard, he thought, I know what I need to do. I need to make a train. So a round of applause for Gary as he puts his woodwork skills to the test. And this is a picture of a picture, and we'll come back to this at the end as well. So there are the four things that's the reason why Vision Sunday, we're talking about what we want to do and hope to do this morning, so we're on the same page. And just a couple of practical things A number of people have said, are we going to talk about information, but also share something of our heart? We recognize that we're going to say quite a bit of stuff. We've spent a long time thinking and planning and praying. We've talked to lots of different people. There's lots of people in this room who've contributed into what we're going to talk about this morning. We haven't got time to get everybody up at the front, but you need to know that there's lots of input, lots of conversations, lots of discussion. We talked about this stuff in all our departments that we have. We talked about this stuff in our discipleship and care team, shared it with many of our, you know, our wider leaders group, people who lead in the church in lots of different areas and forums. So people have had an opportunity to hear some of this. So this is really something which has been for us going on for a number of weeks and months. And what we want to try and do this morning is kind of condense it into a and get the balance just right so that you go away with enough information, but also we're going to try and avoid overload. That's our plan this morning. At the end as well, and we're going to give you everybody one of these, which is kind of a summary of what we're talking about. So some of the detail you'll see on the screen, there'll be quite a lot of information. We try to summarize it so that you can go away and have a look in more details. We expect that we probably won't have time at the end for lots of questions. We realize that there may be lots of questions. One of the reasons that we put a lunch afterwards was because then we can have that chat, we can have that conversation. So we'd welcome the conversation, we welcome the feedback and come and talk to us. But let's do that over lunch, because practically I think we are not going to have time to do that. So that's kind of the context. Hopefully that is clear where we're heading. Why don't we stand together? We'll pray, and then we'll make a start. Father, we thank you that you're the chairman. Thank you that you're the CEO. Thank you that you are the person in our lives who we look to for guidance, for leadership. You're the one that we look to direct us individually. We also look to you to direct us as a church. And this morning, as we share vision and heart, Lord, I pray that you would be right here amongst us. I pray that as we prayed already this morning, God, I thank you that unite us in under Jesus Christ and in the power of your love. And as we pray this morning, I pray that you would help each one of us to see through the eyes of faith the things that you're putting in front of us individually. How can we be all aboard as church to help one another to be the people that you've called us to be? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Brilliant. Have a seat. Have the next slide up, Sally. So this slide has got a number of things on it that won't actually be new, the words on there, but it is our starting point. Everything else that we may say comes from the conviction that we believe the mission of not just our church but our lives is to follow Jesus ourselves and then to help others follow him. Matt's just talked about vision being what we see, and that's an important ingredient of faith. Sometimes to see things more clearer, we have to close our eyes. And I wonder if you would indulge me for one moment. I will tell you when to reopen your eyes, because otherwise you'll just be asleep by the end of it. So just close your eyes for one moment, because if vision is about what we see, but there's this important ingredient of faith that comes in to make things clearer. Then think maybe about the person or people that you live with, you may work with, you spend time with. What would it look like for them to start to follow Jesus? That's why you've got your eyes closed. Can you see it? Could you see it, those people? And then maybe wider, what about those people in our community? What about them to start following Jesus? Could it have an impact on their health? Could it have an impact on their relationships? And could it have an impact on their future? What do you see as you close your eyes and think of those people you know? What would it look like for them to follow Jesus? So you can open your eyes again. So in order to get to that point, what will Ashwood Church look like and be like? Well, we believe that it looks like this up on that screen. Spiritually healthy, and it's growing, and it's for all ages. And how do we continue to both aim for that and become it? We need to prioritize the things that we value the most. And we've been talking about this the last 2 or 3 weeks, and after this week, we'll do a couple more. But we believe that the important values that we have as Ashwood Church is that everyone is welcome. We want to be more relational. We want to always be growing. We want everything to have Jesus right at the center, and we want to be outward looking or mission focused. So we won't go into all of those now because we've been doing those. But I'll just hand over to Zoe, who's going to move us forward.
Okay, so what's just come up on the screen now is these four things around the edge: generational church, authentic community, worship central, and kids and youth culture. And we're calling these the Ashwood distinctives. These are the things that make us what we are as Ashwood. They're in our DNA. The things that God has said to us, the things that make Ashwood Ashwood, they've been in our history, they're our heartbeat. They're the things that have been spoken over us prophetically as a church. We are already these things, but we want to grow more into them. We want to become a better version of who we are. We want to have authentic community. We want to be a place where people can belong. We want to be a place of hospitality. We want to be a place where people have fun. We want to be a generational church. We want there to be all ages welcome here at Ashwood. We're already good at that. Janet has a couple of times over years done this thing where she's checked the demographic of who we are, and she's counted the number of people in each decade, so 0 to 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 30, so on, all the way up to over 80. And actually, every time she's done that, there's been an equal number, roughly, of people in every decade, which is absolutely awesome. That's part of who we are as Ashwood. We're generational. Worship is a big part of our DNA. We are blessed by an amazing worship team who bring us into the presence of God. Sung worship, presence of God, is a big part of who we are as Ashwood, and we see that as really important. And children and young people, we've got a long history of amazing work with children and young people, both in church and in the community, and that is really important to us as Ashwood. It's part of who we are. So these are the things, our distinctives, they're our DNA, the things we are, the things we are already, and the things that we're going to grow more into, we believe. This is, so I just want to introduce this to you, this little circles diagram. It's a simple way that helps us as we think about our strategy. Our strategy is about the how of where we get to where we want to be, how we fulfill our vision, how we help people find and follow Jesus, how we become a healthy and growing church for all generations. How do we step into that? And so we've used this model, this four circles, as a way of putting together our strategy. And so what we're identifying is there's four parts to this circle. First of all, there's the core, people that are Jesus followers, who are all aboard with what we're doing at Ashwood. They're in life groups, they're serving, they're giving into the church. These are the people who are really at the core of what we do at Ashwood. We want to be doing things to help that grow. So then the next ring is those who are committed, who are regularly attending church or events that we put on, are in relationship with us. And then there's the community circle, the people who we're developing relationships with. They're known to us, we might know their names, and they're connected in through friendships and events. And then there's the crowd, which are the people out there, connections that are yet to be made. They're not yet in the door. There may be faces, not names. But there's we want to be doing things, activities in all of those areas for people in our core, for the people who are committed, for the people who are connected, and for the people in the community and the crowd. We want to be putting things on for all of those people, and ultimately so we can create a flow of people in from the crowd to the community, to the committed, to the core, and then the core is strong and growing in relationship with God and one another. And so we've used this circles as a basis to put together our strategy, and then we've brought together lots of work from lots of people. And we know that this looks really busy. Do not worry. We're not expecting you to be able to see everything on this to start with. And that's all on the handout that you're going to be given at the end. And we're not going to go through this in all the detail, but this circle maps the things that we are already doing as Ashwood, and the things that we want to start to do where there's gaps, so that we can grow and see those people flow in through those circle diagrams. So we're not going to go through all the detail, but we're going to just speak for 1 minute on each of those four sections. We're going to get some other people involved, so Neil and Dom, if you can be ready to come and speak in one moment. I'm just going to start, first of all, by speaking about... just to note, we've kind of then split that into age demographics. We just thought that's the easiest way to map what we do as a church and what we want to do, the work with each age. So first of all, in our kids' work, 0 to 11, we do some amazing things in this age group. We have Esther, who's leading our Zones team, which is totally amazing. We're seeing our children grow in their faith. We've got some amazing schools work led by Lucy Hudson out in the community. And we've got Seesaw, which sees loads and loads of kids come in. But our heart for this area, as we grow in, is to see a flow coming in and putting things in those in-between sections where we can just see kids in the community getting to know Jesus, coming through into faith and becoming part of our core Sunday zones and being kids full of faith. That's what we want to see for our children in church and in the community. So I'm just going to hand over to Neil, who's going to speak for a minute about his vision for the youth. And then perhaps you could just hand straight over to Dom after. That'd be it.
I think we're at a really interesting point that God's going to do something great with young people in Kirkby. And I'm kind of really excited. I'm really blessed because we've got a core team of leaders who help do the planning and stuff. And they're determined to see our young people go on a spiritual journey and just be the best young people that they can be. But we've also got a vision for reaching the young people in Kirkby. And I'm going to explain three of the gateways of how we're going to do that. And one of the things is the ACR Youth Club. Now, I think the ACR Youth Club is probably one of the nicest youth clubs I've ever been involved with, because the kids are great. And I remember years ago that often we'd have to close or we'd have to call the police. But these young people are just absolutely fantastic. And one of the great things this Thursday night, which I could never imagine happening, is that we asked a group of young people just to put some toys out for Seesaw the next day. And they were great. And they just got on and did it. And part of it is that some of those young people have actually grown up at the Ashwood Centre, so they are the young people who came to the Seesaw 15 years ago, and they've kind of got this spiritual home feeling about this place. And one young girl, just any excuse that she can find to come into this room, she just wants to do it. And I don't just think that's because she's grown up here. I think there's something of what God's doing in her life as well. We want to make this youth club the best youth club in the area, where young people want to be, but also where they can experience God's love. Another of the projects kind of ties in with a lot of the school's work we're doing. So for three seasons now, I've been running a football project in some of the primary schools. And as those young people have got older, they've started going to secondary school. I focused on year six age. And it'd be really great if we could develop our football project so some of those young people could actually start coming on a Friday night, mixing with some of the church people, and actually just see them on their spiritual journey. And for many of the young people in the primary schools that I work in, they don't have the opportunity to play football for a football club because they've just not got that background where that's achievable. And for our own young people, it'd be great to... We've had a few of them already do some coaching and some refereeing for different projects. And it'd be great to see some of those young people doing that a lot more often and getting involved with that. Another one is we've just got an awesome group of young people who go to our church. And we want to see them move with their faith. My big dream is that they learn spiritual disciplines and that they just spend time in God's presence, and then they're called to go out and reach the young people in their area. So that's my dream. One of the ways we want to do that is through some of the socials. And we asked the young people a few months ago what type of socials that they wanted, and they came up with some great ideas. So one is an outdoor cinema night. They want to do J-Zone on the park. And we want to facilitate that, and we want to encourage them to start inviting their friends and spending time with each other. Just this week, I've been reminded that how important kind of this centre is to some of the young people that we've worked with over the years. And obviously with the girl who came to Seesaw, it was amazing just to see like her experience of the centre. But also there's another young girl who used to come to the after schools club that I ran 10 years ago. And her son is now old enough to come to the youth, or will be next year. And it's just amazing to see kind of the way that we've supported that girl through her spiritual journey. And I think sometimes you have to reflect and consider about the lives that we've reached and we've touched over the years. But we actually want more, don't we? We don't just want to be relational, but we want those to experience the love of God and have a faith journey of their own.
So the 1830s, really, I guess they're adults. Well, you might not think so, looking at some of us. For me, it's a case of, I think the 1830s group's separated from the adults in some ways because it's a transition period from a point where you have a lot of input into your life as a young person into being an adult or going away for the first time or trying to do things on your own a bit more. So basically, our heart is to encourage people to stay following God, because it's a time, especially if you're off to university or something, where it's easy to fall away. So my catchphrase for it is disciples of Christ who don't waste their lives. But to put that simply, it means people who follow Jesus and serve him. And if you go with that, that's the best life you can live. So that's what we're encouraging people to do. And we'll do it for a few days, but mostly it's getting involved with what the church does.
Thanks, Neil and Dom. It's great to hear your heart for what you're doing. Just to highlight then, the last little section is adults. That's the rest of us, but encompasses the 18 to 30s, as Dom said. And just we just want to emphasise, really, that we see two main ways people connect in with us as Ashwood. And that's, first of all, through us. We are a key part of our mission and our vision and our strategy, that each of us has family, friends, people who we spend time with, who we can connect with, build relationship with, and bring in from that outside ring, and bring in, we can accompany with them as individuals. For our strategy to be effective, it's going to take all of us getting on board, bringing our friends along, seeing church as a place where they can belong. And secondly, we connect with people in our community through the things that we do and activities that we do, like food banks, fun days, Christmas events, that kind of thing. So people that like might be people that we don't know already, but we can start to build a relationship with. And we want to create ways for both of those groups of people, new connections and existing connections, to come in, move from crowd to community to committed to core. And to have a discipleship journey where people from both of those sections, there's a clear pathway for people to come in and journey with Jesus, to get to know Jesus and become Christians. And we want to have a really clear way of doing that. So I'm going to hand back to Matt now to kind of move on to the next little bit.
Okay, good. Everybody doing okay? Good. So recognize that there's lots of things, as Zoe said, on this particular slide. And really, it's more about the process. It's more about thinking of the stepping stones, if you like, that, like Zoe's just outlined, that can help people find and follow Jesus. Don't remember, that's what it's all about, helping people find and follow Jesus. So people who may be in the crowd, may be part of the community, but helping them to move to what we would describe as the core. And one of the things that we want to do, we recognise this morning that when we talk about being all aboard, what does that actually mean? There's so many people in this room. One of the things we want to do this morning is to celebrate the huge number of areas and ways that people serve within the church. We recognise too that a lot of people who people serve within church, but their primary calling is outside of the church. We recognize that people have places of influence through their work, and that's where God has placed them. And we recognize that as church, one of the things that we do is to support one another to be the people of God wherever we are and whatever that looks like. So that is really key, and that's really important. We mustn't miss out on that. But as church, what are the ways that we can serve? And I've just said many people serve in all kinds of different ways, which is great. We also realize that there may be some people who have maybe joined, connected with Ashwood more recently, and you feel, well, hang on, how can I serve? What are the areas where I can serve? What are the things that I could be involved in? And we realize that when we talk about being all aboard, one of the questions is, how can I be all aboard? And what we've done is we've thought about that, and we've tried to create what we've called serving pathways. So in each of these different four areas that you'll see on the screen here, there are different serving opportunities in each of those different places. And one of the things that we'll do at the end of our meeting this morning is we've got a number of cards which basically outline what it means to serve in these different areas. So we'll leave them, you can have a look at them at the end, and there's a bit of detail on each one that talks about, well, this is what happens in Seesaw, this is what happens in the worship team, this is what happens in some of the other areas. And you might say, actually, that's just the thing where I would love to be involved serving and using the gifts that God has given us. So we'll do that at the end. So that's in terms of our serving pathways. We asked ourselves a number of questions as well. The other question is, well, how do we facilitate this, all this stuff as church? And there was four things that we particularly highlighted. So one of them, Zoe's just mentioned, this whole thing of a discipleship journey. Hopefully that kind of makes sense. But basically what we're saying is there are sometimes we've recognized that in church we haven't had a clear process of how people can connect with us in one area and then find their way into following Jesus. If you think about the circles from the outside to the inside, sometimes we've met people and we've had some great conversations with people in Seesaw, for example, but we haven't necessarily had an opportunity for them to go, well, what could I do to find out more about Jesus? What could I do to find out more about this God that you say that you serve? So one of the things that we want to put in place to be really clear is to have what we describe as a discipleship journey to help people find a connection with not just church, but with Jesus. So we want to look at what that looks like, and some of the things that we are in our planning help us to intentionally do that. The next thing, talk about leadership development. We recognize that this is an important part of who we are as church. And we always need to be working and thinking how we can grow our leadership capacity within church. You'll be aware that so much of what the church does is reliant on volunteers. And that will always be the case. We are incredibly blessed. I had a conversation with someone who was new to Ashwood, and she said to me, you don't understand, Matt, the number of people who are involved in helping and serving is just so much greater than it was. This was someone who was arriving from another church, and they were just saying that it's incredible how many people are involved in serving in so many different ways. And I love that. Love that reflection and that thought. And of course, that's what we want to do with volunteers. But we also recognize that sometimes we need to create enough capacity for people who can just give more and more of their time to be able to serve the church. So many of you will know that we agreed with the trustees that Claire and I would do a day and a half a week paid for the church. We end up doing a little bit more than that, but that's one of the things that is part of growing our capacity. And very recently as well, we created an opportunity so that Dave could also do one day a week paid for the church. Now, we see these things as significant. They're steps. Of course, as we grow, we need to increase that. So it's one of the things that we think about when we talk about strategy. Just mentioned serving pathways. Want to make those as clear as possible. And then the last thing is this thing that we're describing as developing a pastoral hub. Yeah, I guess you're saying, what's a pastoral hub? Well, Janet, you can come and tell us the answer to that.
I'll try. Well, we live in a society, don't we, that has increasing pressures in lots and lots of areas. And what we want to do in the process of all this is we want to help each one of us here and people outside to trust and lean on God for themselves, and also to provide care and support where needed. We want to be a group of people who do care for one another. And obviously we see life groups as very much part of that, but sometimes extra support is needed. And so I've been wanting to draw together some pastoral people who can share the load that I carry sometimes, but also to increase our capacity to care and support both the life groups, so that we help them, the life group leaders and the folks in life groups, to support it better and more appropriately, and but also to care for themselves, but also to be supporting individuals, but also to see us actually creating a caring community where every single one of us is playing our part in caring and supporting, because it's not down to a few individuals, but we're just bringing together a few that are going to be able to just encourage and support.
And if you have any questions or thoughts on that, then please talk to Janet. But we think that could be an important building block, really, for the things that we, in order for us to achieve the things we want to achieve, to have these things in place, we think is really important. And many of the things on this slide, you'll know some of them are happening already. We've highlighted those and we've celebrated some of those this morning, of course. There are some things that are new as well. One of our questions, if we're honest, as we think about some of this stuff, one thing I didn't say at the start is really all these things we're talking about, they're kind of evolving. There's always things that are changing. There's always new thoughts and things that we want to just tweak and reflect on. And one of my questions, one of our questions is, actually, is there too many things on this slide? And I think the answer is probably yes. So over time, maybe there are some things where we're actually just going to say, well, actually, strategically, it's going to be better for us not to do some things. But at this point in time, we haven't done too much of that, taking those things out. So that's also in our thinking. So there's many things on here which are existing. There's also a few things that we mentioned that are new. And one of the things I'm just going to touch on very quickly are four new things that we want to particularly focus on. There, when you get your handout, there are these things here in the white boxes. And the next slide just looks at those four things just very, very quickly. And these are things that have come out of conversations that we've had. Four things that we've talked about often that we think are important. So there are four things of these. One of them is a kids holiday club. If we can go on to the next one, Sally. So there was four things that when we were looking at the things that the gaps may be, if we look at these, when we look at the circles, the strategy, the four things where we go, actually, we could just be really helpful if we could do some things that would just bridge, maybe a stepping stone to help people move from here to here. And that's really why we've used this strategies thing, the circles, because it helps us identify that. So one of them, very quickly, won't go into lots of detail because we realise that that's not the place for this morning, but Kids Holiday Club, we've talked about it often, recognise that there's a lot of effort and the things involved in it, but we believe that this would be a good thing for us to add into the stuff that we currently do. We talked about the whole discipleship journey. Part of that, we recognise, is the importance of something like Alpha, specifically Alpha to, you know, many of you will know about the Alpha course, the most successful discipleship and invitation for people to understand and explore their faith. Millions of people have been through it. We want to make sure that we look carefully at that. The third thing on here, continue to create opportunities for friendship groups. We've mentioned it already, but you know, if you want to help people find and follow Jesus, one of the still the most significant way of doing that is through friendships. People who you know, people who I know, our neighbors, the people that we connect with, actually coming and introducing them to a faith in Jesus. That's why things like Alpha, it's not so much about waving a flag, or of course we'll put signs up and we can put publicity out there so many times. It's actually about us bringing our friends. So last week, quiz night, great opportunity, informal place for us to bring our friends to. It was great to have, I think we had 50 people or so there. Not everyone can do all of these things, but somebody can do something. And then the last thing, again, these are all in very different areas, but you can see that they're hopefully stepping stones, building bridges, filling some of the gaps. We talked about the idea of having a cafe space, coffee morning that runs alongside Food Bank. You know that many of you in this room, or some of you in this room, are involved in Food Bank. It's one of the great things that we do as church to serve our community. Louise does an outstanding job organizing that and pulling it all together every week. In fact, why don't we just thank Louise? Because many of you won't see this, but she does an amazing job of doing that. Incredible. Of course, Food Bank is one of those things where you kind of hope there's no need for Food Bank, but there really is a need. We want to play our part in that too. So those very quickly are the four things that we will look at. They're part of the serving pathway, things that people can be involved in as well. Moving on. One other question that, of course, is part of this. You might say, okay, what about the new home for Ashwood? Are we nearly there yet? Is a valid question? And of course, why would we talk about this in terms of helping people find and follow Jesus? Well, we've said it so many times. Hopefully it's a clear message, those of you who've been with us before. But our dream is not to have a bigger or a better building. Our dream is clearly to be a spiritually healthy, growing church for all ages that helps people find and follow Jesus. But in order to do that, we recognize that we need a facility which is fit for purpose. And the Ashwood Centre has been a great facility. It's been brilliant, hasn't it? Of course, we celebrate all of that. And Neil's, I love Neil's stories, don't you, of how people have connected because of the building situation. It's brilliant. But of course, we know we're on this journey to say, well, in the future, what do we need as church? And of course, some of the stepping stones in that, we had a faith offering back in September, which was great. We're still praying, of course. The land next door, you know that we talked about that. It's still for sale. The for sale sign is still up. And I talk to some of you sometimes and you tell me that you're believing for the land next door and there's still a lot of faith behind that. Claire and I went, I think we told you this before, Claire and I went to meet the owners of that. At the moment, they've got the wrong price in mind for how much that costs. But we're praying that that either we come to some kind of closer agreement on what that price looks like. But honestly, if you're asking me, well, what should we be going for? If we want God's best for the future, not just for now, but looking way, way, way into the future, wouldn't it be great for us to be able to expand the capacity of what we have? And I know a lot of you think that. As I was thinking this morning, I very quickly was just reminded of what God said, two different things on this whole thing of the building. 2 years ago, we realized that there's loads of signs all over Kirkby that say, they tell you where to get to Kirkby and Ashfield, Sutton and Ashfield, and they point towards two things, a health and wellbeing centre, which is the building next door, but also on these signs, and we never asked for any of this, on all of these signs, it talks about the Ashwood Centre. And I just had this sense, and we had this sense as we prayed together, that actually it's not insignificant that the council choose to send people to a health and wellbeing centre next door, and that maybe what would it look like for the Ashwood Centre to be the spiritual health and wellbeing? Wouldn't that be? And we just got a sense that maybe God, through the council, was speaking to us. And then a year ago, Paul Brownback, a friend of ours from Texas, was here, and he doesn't know our situation, which is often really helpful. And he said that he felt that God was speaking to us these verses out of Isaiah about the bed is too short to stretch out, the place you are in is too constrictive. And he doesn't know us, he doesn't know a situation. So it's just interesting. Of course, we only want to do the things that God is speaking to us, and that's why we listen carefully, we remind ourselves of the things that are important. Of course, you're probably interested to know what's happening with the merger. It's a key part of it. The legal background. Elaine, do you want to just give us... Elaine can concisely tell you everything that's happening with this huge legal process. She can do it in 15 seconds. I said, I don't know how you can do that, Elaine. And she said, Matt, I can. So here you go.
Not quite 15 seconds. Just before I move on to the Home for Ashwood, I just wanted to... there's some roles in the church that are really critical, especially to us as trustees. And one of those is the treasurer role. As you know, Lisa's recently stepped down from that role. She did tell us about a year ago that she would be starting to hand off some of that responsibility as she supported Dan. So that is such a critical role. So it's really important to us that we have the right person supporting in us in that. And I just want to say that Becky, who stood up earlier and is still sat over there, is now transitioning into that role and has started undertaking the duties of treasurer this month. I'm sure he'll agree she's going to do a really great job. She already is already. So just support her in that. We'll be praying for you, Becky. It's something she started to work since she's had the children. So it's a new way for her as she moves on. If anybody does want to give regularly to the church on a monthly basis by direct debit, Becky has all the information either for the development fund or for church. So new home for Ashwood then. Talking about the train analogy, you probably think we're on the slow train. I can assure you that we are moving and we probably are gaining pace as well. There's not much that you've been able to see recently, but I can assure you there's lots of solicitors' emails and lots of meetings with the trustees going back and forth, getting legal advice on the direction we're going in and the merger. I have to say something, sometimes getting legal advice is a bit like receiving a prophecy in another language. We have to interpret it. So we have a lot of conversations. What's the clause 3.2 or 90.6? Or should we take that clause in? Should we leave that one alone? No. ACR are doing the same, ACR trustees. So there's been quite a lot of that. We are getting very close to agreeing a transfer legal document now. There's still a few little hurdles to get through, but we're very close to that. So I do think the end is in sight. We're working closely with ACR. I think we're going to have a meeting with their trustees shortly. One of the other things we're doing, obviously, we're now taking on the responsibility of a building, which is quite daunting for most of us. We do need to understand our liability in terms of the building, which is also something we've been doing. There will be a few things we're going to... I think our next step is to get a building engineering just to see... ACR had a review of the building a couple of years ago that said some of the urgent things that need doing, some of those have been done, some haven't. So we'll be looking at what we might need to do. And you'll be pleased to know one of those is that we'll be looking at the heating, certainly as we go into next winter, because obviously we will be in this building for probably a year or two yet. So I think, yes, it's moving. Please pray for us because it's quite challenging for all of us, I think, and quite time consuming. But actually... For us, you know, less than a year ago, we were in a blocked place. We had nowhere to go because we were told that this building would never be ours and we would never be able to merge with ACR. So, you know, when we look back on that, we know that there's something spiritual about claiming the land we are. And obviously, I think in terms of what Neil said, that's re-emphasised that. So moving forward, we do believe this is where we should be. We believe that we should have our home here. So just pray, we pray, obviously, thank God for what he's done so far. And I do believe that very shortly we will claim this as our new home for Ashwood and a new home.
And everybody cheered. So... We're so grateful for the work that the trustees do. It's incredible. And I love the fact that Elaine just took responsibility for the heating. Did you hear that? Way! Praise God. Fantastic. So there's a bit of an update. Of course, whilst we have lunch, you can ask more questions. And there are things that we could say a lot more, but we're trying to keep it brief. The very final thing, and I think it's just, I'm not going to say very much, but it's really important that we recognise that we don't do any of this stuff on our own. So for us as Ashwood Church, there are partnerships. We are part of something bigger. Many of you will know this, but we are part of the ground level network. So we're not isolated. We're not on our own. We don't do things off our own back, but we love the fact that we can be a part of something bigger. We can contribute and we can benefit from being part of a network with other people who will support us, also facilitate all kinds of things. Many of you will benefit from the One event. It's where all the tribes come together, if you like, that analogy, being part of 5,000-10,000 people who are worshipping together. We love it. Lynx International, another key part of a partnership that we've had for many years. And alongside that, working with lots of other churches, but particularly Kirkby churches together, friendships, unity. It's important for us to recognise that we do things not in isolation. So I think that's enough of the information. Hopefully that's clear. Dave, you're just going to help us just to wrap up and how we can respond to this.
Yeah. Good. Well, we're going to pray in a moment, and I think we're going to finish by worshipping together as well. So, Bandy, you could probably come up now if you want to. It's what's really excited me in this whole process, and I hope, even if it's the first time that you've kind of had this information overload this morning, is we're doing a lot, aren't we? We're doing a lot, and there are so many people who are serving so well, making this all happen. And it's good to take a step back, because sometimes we can be so close to the coalface that that's all we see. But looking back at what Ashwood does is just incredible. You know, we do an awful, awful lot. And actually, historically, we've done an awful lot. And what we're doing now has been building on foundations of the past. And what we do now and going ahead, we want to be a stronger foundation for what happens after. And it's a really exciting place to be. And it just occurred to me this morning, actually, while we were talking. Do you know, you've heard that phrase, if you want to get something done, ask a busy person. Yeah? And I think, and I really believe that there's a sense that God keeps asking us to do stuff because he knows that we will do it. And that really lifts my faith because I know, do you know what? It's stretching and it's hard, but if God is asking us to do something, it's because he has put faith in us to do it. And therefore, our faith in him, which needs to be even bigger, gives us so much faith and power and authority to actually get on and do it. So it's exciting. It's exciting to see that we are a church of movement. Now, we've talked about all sorts of different areas that are that make up Ashwood. And we've talked about things that we are going to be doing intentionally over the next few months and couple of years or so, that we really see and believe that God is asking us to do because it's going to build his kingdom and because it's going to make a difference and it's going to change lives. As we wrap up this morning, I want to really encourage us. We've been talking a lot about being all aboard. I want to encourage us all to consider how we can get all aboard with what we're setting out for the next foreseeable. And that can be in all sorts of different ways. We can all pray. Do you know, when we pray and when we connect with God, we get a bigger and greater passion for the things that he wants us to be doing. And we get empowered to do them. And then we start to see a release and a breakthrough. We can all pray. We can all give. We can give of our own resources, of our own time. And we can serve. We talked earlier about serving pathways. And what we've got, in fact, if you want to put that slide up, we've got a whole load of areas that people can get involved with and serve in. And over on the tables over there, over lunchtime, at the back there, there's a whole load of sheets on card. There's an example there about how you can get involved in the different areas. And what I'd really encourage you to do is to prayerfully look over those. And you might already, this morning, as we've been talking, you might already be involved in some of those areas and you want to step up and you want to do more. Or there might be other areas that God's just giving you a nudge on. Or he might not have given you a nudge yet. And so you need to go and have a look over there and just go, Lord, what do you want me to be involved with? How do you want me to serve? And what you'll find is there's a description of the different areas. We've tried to make it as simple as possible. And there's a description of how you can serve in those areas. And what I really want to encourage you to do this morning is just to have a look at those and ask God, how do you want me to serve? What do you want me to do? And what we've done is we've left space for you to put your names on. And somebody will get in touch with you at some point and we'll just talk to you more about it and about whether that fits or not, or how that's going to look. So don't feel that if you put your name down for something that you're going to get saddled with a whole load of stuff. Sometimes we get a bit scared, don't we, about putting ourselves forward in case it means we get... But it's not going to be like that. But let's just be in a place where we're saying, God, you know, I want to get all aboard. I want to see how you want to use me. And hopefully we've made that as easy as possible for that to happen. And for that to happen this morning. And we've talked about discipleship journey as well. And actually, when we serve, it's part of our journey. And it's a part of our growing. I know when I step out and do stuff for God that I grow. Because usually it's not very comfortable doing some other stuff. But it's in those places where you kind of have to work at it with God that you grow yourselves. And what we're going to see is that not only is the kingdom going to grow, but that we're going to grow within that kingdom as well. So it's a win-win scenario, isn't it? Let's stand. And let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for Ashwood. I thank you for every person who has ever been part of Ashwood. I thank you for the foundations that have been laid in the past. I thank you for what you are doing now. I thank you for the stories of young people who have come back because they once played on this floor with toys. I thank you, Lord God, that we can see how you are moving in people's lives because of what goes on in this place and because of what your faithful people do. And Lord God, we just want to humble ourselves before you and say, Lord God, we want to serve you. We want to serve your purposes. We want to be kingdom builders. We want to build something that is going to last forever. We want to build something that is going to change lives. Lord God, as we just worship you, as we spend time with each other, oh Lord, just pray that you would keep meeting with us, keep challenging us, and keep moving us on and moving us forward. Amen.